To the book of John chapter 14. The book of John chapter 14. God is good. He wants to move in the Spirit upon our lives and we want to give Him room. Amen? Amen. For 3.5 years, the disciples walked with Jesus. When He slept outside, they were with Him. When He was in obscurity, they were especially by His side, learning and growing, walking, listening as He talked along the way. No one had ever spoken like this man. No one had ever done miracles like this man had done. No one carried the anointing, the presence of God as Jesus did. No one at times had ever seemed quite as confusing as Jesus did. He said things that were confusing and He did some things that were confusing. Only from our limited understanding. God is never the author of confusion. Simply is not. But sometimes we're confused. A good Jewish man didn't talk to a woman alone, and here the disciples had gone off to buy food and to come back and prepare a meal, and while they were gone, Jesus is not only talking to a woman, He's talking to a Samaritan woman, of all people, sitting out in the open by a well, talking to a Samaritan woman. The nerve! Those days, they could travel easily. You could hear a narrative coming from one of the disciples as they would say, in those days we traveled easily. We could go where we want and do what we wanted to do. It was just the Master and us. And miracles were happening and things were going on. And then all of a sudden He exploded in popularity. We walked with Him through that too. I mean, you think that's what you always want, fame and popularity, but we couldn't get much alone time with Jesus at that point. He kept going away into the wilderness because that was the best place for Him to really go get a chance to pray, and we got time alone with Him there. He loved to pray. For 400 years it had been silent, ever since Malachi. No one heard much of anything from God. But then John the Baptist comes and preaches repentance, and people start going out to the wilderness to find Him. And then Jesus comes and starts doing things we'd never seen or heard about before, and teaching and healing and delivering, and the gifts of the Spirit are starting to flow before the baptism of the Holy Spirit because the Son of God is on the scene. What powerful things! And He feeds multitudes and thousands with a little boy's lunch. Then, as soon as the crowds thronged around Him, seems like the leaders got jealous. Began to send others into the crowds to mock and to jeer, to detract, and they began to call for Jesus to be gone. Was in obscurity and we were with Him. He was in popularity and we were with Him. And now He's coming toward a very heavy time because He keeps saying to us, I'm going to be leaving. And He keeps talking to us about departing. Can you hear the disciples? And we've given our whole lives to Him. Some of us left our fishing business, our other jobs. What does it mean if He goes away and He keeps talking about it? What's it going to mean to us? When you really find out where the rubber hits the road, it boils down to a question like this, doesn't it? What does this mean to me? Where is He going? And why can't we go with Him? I mean, we've gone everywhere with Him for 3.5 years. I don't get it. Anybody in this room ever felt like that? I don't get it. Come on, let's see the rest of your hands. Anybody ever felt like that? I thought I could get some honesty out of you. This hurts. I don't understand. This is the Lord we saw heal a withered hand, walk on water, heal a woman's infirmity after she'd spent all of her life's living and belongings for doctors and physicians, an infirmity of 18 years, but all she did is press into the crowd. Nobody even saw her. She touches the hem of Jesus' garments and she's miraculously healed. So, who's going to do something to this guy? Some of us had hoped that He was the one who was going to overthrow the Roman rulership of our country. But He keeps saying He's going away. Confused. Hurt.
Lonely?
Try as they might, they just didn't always get it. And like in our life, life doesn't always make sense. And that's the context for today's text. Let's go to John chapter 14. Hopefully you have your own Bibles, and if you don't, there's a scripture text in the back that are available. Simply slip up your hand and others will be able to bring a Bible to you. I'll be reading from the New King James this morning. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. John 14, 15 through 31, and I'm going to be in John 14 my entire time this morning. So it's really good if you've got your Bibles to open up to and look along with. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Say that with me, please. If you love me, keep my commandments. How many know we could stop right there, and that's a message in itself? If you really want me to know that you love Jesus, if you really want someone to know, I love the Lord, what does it say you'll be about the business of doing? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you on that one. That's not fun preaching, that's just real preaching. That's it. If you're really going to tell me you're a Christian, Kevin, if you're really going to say, I'm a Christian to someone else, then your lifestyle needs to state it louder than your words by what you do. And what you do needs to be obeying His commandments and keeping them. Well, Kevin, you're talking about being bound up in law. No. He fulfills the law as He writes it in our heart and mind. We're in a new covenant. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But Jesus has a lot of commands, and it goes right back to the Scripture and the Big Ten, if you will. And that's not just a sporting event. The Big Ten. You know, and lots of other things. But He writes them in our heart and mind. Now we keep them because we want to, not just because we have to. How many know you need God's grace to help you do it? Okay. So the message here is, if you love me, you're going to demonstrate it by what you do and how you live. Now, then he goes on. Okay, now release some blessing to you. If you're going to keep his commandments, you're proving his love. And those who prove that love and walk with him in that love relationship, watch what he does. And I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper. And in the King James, that word is comforter. That he may abide with you how long?
Forever.
The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and say it with me, please, boom it out, and will be in you. That's pretty powerful. That's God involved in our lives. I have some real simple points this morning, but some points that change our life and thinking if we will allow them. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, it neither sees him, it doesn't know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And watch this, I will not leave you orphans. Say it out loud with me, please. Orphans, people of no parentage, people who don't know who their daddy is, people who don't know. One of the most beautiful ministries that any families have, as far as I'm concerned, is creating a family for people who have no family. I think it's one of the most beautiful things that happens in our planet, where orphans or people that don't know their parents are allowed a place and become a part of a family. And Jesus is looking at his disciples who are saddened because he keeps saying, I'm going away. And you can't come there with me, but you'll see me and the world can't see me. Can you imagine the confusion these guys are going through? You can't follow me, but you can, you'll see me. And then you'll see me, but the world won't see me. And excuse me. But most of all, get his heart. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments, and say it with me again, keeps them. It is he who loves me. Oh, Pastor Kev, I can do anything I want. In fact, I will tell you, I've been in conversations within the last 3 weeks, not with anybody in this room, but with people giving me this testimony. You cannot believe what this person is doing. Not gossip. I'm involved personally in this situation. You cannot believe what's happening. This person is making choice after choice after choice to devastate family, to devastate friends. And when the call goes to this person saying, wait a minute, what about your Christianity? The answer comes back, well, I'm a Christian. And that's what a lot of people in the world think. I'm a Christian. I'm a little bit of everything. But I'm a Christian because Jesus has grace, doesn't he? You bet he has grace, but look at what he is saying. If you love me, you're going to prove it by how you live. Turn to each other and say, oh man, that's good preaching. Aren't you glad he's preaching to someone else this morning? Go ahead, say that to each other. If he who has my commandments and keeps them, it's he who loves me. Listen, it's just as hard for me as it is for you. It's, you know, pastors don't get a pass on this stuff. It's all our walk with the Lord. And folks, how many are glad that's why we have a family of friends to help each other walk this road? All right? But it's just identifying where we're at. It is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And look at this. I will manifest myself to him. I'll show up for you. How many are glad?
Yes.
Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, you think he's got a point he's trying to make here this morning? If anybody loves me, he will what? Keep my word. I'm sorry, you got real quiet on me here. If anybody loves me, he will what? Keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. That's the fourth time in this short little chapter or little verses we're reading right now. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Let's just hang our hat on a couple of simple points this morning. Number one, the question is, who is the Comforter? And the morning's message is entitled, The Comforter is Here. The Comforter is Here. Don't go, Lord. Where are you going? Can we come? What do you mean you're going away? Our whole lives have been put on hold for you, and now you're leaving? It's dicey enough around here with these Romans without you. Tell us, you say to us, we'll know where you are, but then you say to us, we can't come. But then you say to us, you're going to show up. Who's this comforter? Who's this helper you're talking about? Are we going to get somebody else in the group? Parakletos. Let's go through a few Greek words. What does the scripture mean? And one of the most important things we can do is get the understanding from what are the words that are being used. Comforter, helper. He's got a comforter or a helper for us, and that's parakletos. Parakletos. An intercessor, a consoler, an advocate, a comforter. The Holy Spirit revealed a need this morning for our sister this morning. We all put our arms around her, laid hands upon her. The prayer of comfort, consolation, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, or Parakletos rather. Paraclete is a version. I keep going on to that one. Paraclete, Parakletos, Parakletos is the one who puts his arm around you. How many are glad you've got the arms of God around you this morning? Come on, I need the arms of God around me when I'm facing daily life. An intercessor, a consoler. He's my advocate, my comforter. What does it mean that he will abide with me? Meno, a primary verb. It means to stay. He's going to stay with me. Anybody ever have any insecurity in relationships with anybody before you were saved where you didn't know if people were going to stay with you or not? Even after you became a believer, sometimes that's the issue. Marriages fall apart. There's no security in the world today. Relationships don't hang in there in covenant and commitment because you don't know if that person's going to stay through thick and thin. But in Christ, we're here together and the Holy Spirit doesn't leave. Wow. To stay in a given place, state, or relationship, or relation, or expectancy, He will abide. These are the words that you see in your Scripture. Abide, continue, dwell, endure. He'll remain, He'll tarry for thine own. So we find in Jesus' words that He abides with us forever. He doesn't want to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. How many of you know you can make a choice to forsake the Lord? But that's not His heart. Amen? He is a comfort, an intercessor, a consoler, an advocate. The Spirit. What does the Spirit mean? The pneuma. A current of air, a breath, a blast, or a breeze. A Spirit. A vital principle. That which makes your heart beat, if you will. An angel, a demon, in negative ways or in divine ways. It's God, Christ, Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He is a spirit. Now, in the King James, the word Holy Ghost, when they use the word ghost, it meant spirit. But today's vernacular, that conjures up an image of a fuzzy being who walks and goes bump in the night. And you barely see and you're all afraid of. And there are horror movies made about ghosts. So the word ghost, it really means spirit. Christ's spirit. His breath. His life. He is a real being. The Holy Spirit is real. And the Bible tells us here in this short passage that the world can't see Him. He's spiritual. The Bible says spiritual things are spiritually discerned. The natural man can't understand Him, can't see Him. The world can't hear Him. But the Bible says He's also the Spirit of truth. Should be next. Nope. Receive Him. All right. So we'll go on with receive Him. Just a second. All right. Okay. The world cannot receive Him. The Greek word lambano means to take or get a hold of. But He is a spirit, and the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Let me just talk about that for a moment. John 14:6, Jesus already revealed to us, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So what God tells us, if we attune our ear and walk with God, stay in the Scriptures, we learn the truth and the Holy Spirit writes it on our hearts and minds. If you just go popping off on your own stuff and you're never in the Word of God, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for what you're hearing. Well, God spoke to me. Are you sure it was God? How do you know it was God? You get in the Word, you live in the Word, you love the Word, and you flow in His Spirit, and you grow, and you have the Spirit of God exercises you, and you learn how to hear His voice. But it's grounded in the Word of God and in truth. Somebody say the word truth. Truth. He's completely true all the time. He doesn't tell partial truth. He's not true today and not true tomorrow. He's true all the time. All right, the world cannot receive Him, and there's our lambano. The world can't see Him, it says. And theoreo, to be a spectator, discern. The world cannot receive Him. They can't get a hold of Jesus. They can't discern Jesus. They can't discern the Holy Spirit. They cannot perceive Him. And they cannot know Him, the Bible says. And that Greek word is ginosko. Those numerals are the Strong's word. If you have your Strong's Concordance, you look up those words in Strong's Concordance, and that's where the definitions are coming from. The Greek and the Hebrew. The New Testament, of course, is Greek. The Old Testament is Hebrew as a rule of thumb. So you have ginosko. How? What are they not able to know? They can't know Him deeply. They can't perceive Him. They can't be sure and understand. They don't see Jesus. You ever wonder why? You knock on some people's door and you share Jesus with them all day long and they're not ready to give their life to the Lord. It's like a brick wall. You ever run into a brick wall? Come on. Ever run into any? You're sharing Jesus with people? They can't perceive, see, and know. So we pray, Holy Spirit, get there first.
Yes.
Arguing somebody in the kingdom doesn't do any good. To sit there and argue with them all day long won't do any good. But when the Holy Spirit has ripened their heart and made them ready, you find a receptive vessel who says, I'd like to talk about that. So Lord, make us sensitive as you move on people's lives. So they can't know him. So the question to you is, therefore, with this understanding from the Bible, is there any advantage to being a Christian? I said, is there any advantage to being a Christian? You know Jesus, the Son of God. You have the Holy Spirit involved with your life. The one who really knows, who is truth, who is a discerner of all things. The one who puts the Word of God into us and changes us. The one who guides us and leads us. The one who speaks truth to our spirit. He's inside of you and the one who brings comfort. Isn't that an interesting choice of words? New King James Helper, King James Comforter. Some of you guys sit there and look at me and go, ah, that's a Femi word. I don't even want to talk about it. You need that Femi word just as much as the women do in this room.
Yes, we do.
Sometimes we all need comfort and help. Ever sat alone? You don't have to raise your hands. Ever sat alone at your desk and buried your head in your hands? Said, Jesus, show me what to do. I do not know. Lord, where are you? It feels like you're far away. Show me what my next steps are. I do not know what to do. The Holy Spirit is there. Whether you feel like a great revelation or an answer comes in that moment or not, as a Christian, as sure as your heart is beating, you can have an assurance. The Holy Spirit is there. Jesus says in verse 17, you know him, Christian, disciples, you know him, you gnosko, you can discern him, receive him, understand him, perceive him. He says, he dwells with you, meno, to stay in a given state or expectancy or relationship. He shall be with you. So who is this comforter who's always here? The Holy Spirit. And the most other important point, I'm going to say it again and again here at the end of this message or this part, is you are never alone. Now, I really sincerely want you to turn to each other and then turn to the person on the other side. I want you to look at each other and I want you to say, you are never alone. You are never alone. You're never alone. Never alone. Never, never. You're never alone. I'm never alone. Some of you are looking at, please leave me alone. No. You are never alone. One of the killers in our society today is loneliness. You are never alone. Wow. The world doesn't perceive him in that way. They can't see him. They don't know that. We have people all around us. Royal and I were speaking just before the service started. He saw some people at the little grocery store. His heart broke for them because they were so satisfied in themselves as they're far away from God. Or that was the brokenness of heart that came. And we're surrounded by people in our neighborhoods and our communities just like that. Don't want anything to do with God. I'm fine. You know, the old book, some of you remember the old book, I'm okay, you're okay, we should write a new one. No, you're not okay, I'm not okay. You all need Jesus. You're never alone. Now, I want you to look at Jesus' purpose as he reveals it in the next scripture. John 14, verse 18. I will not, say it with me, please, we'll start it over. I will not leave you comfortless. Or, in the New King James, the word again is literally orphans. I will come to you. Jesus, what do you mean you keep talking about going away? And he says, guys, I will not leave you comfortless. You're not going to be orphans. You are my kids. And I love you. And I know this is hard. And I know you don't want me to go away. But I'm with you. I will come to you. And that Greek word literally is orphanos, from which we get orphans. A very accurate translation. Bereaved. Parentless. Many of us in this room have lost parents, and for many or most of us, there's a loss that we feel when they're gone. We hold to the good memories. Some of the memories were lousy. Can we all be honest? Say amen. We don't put our parents on a shrine. If you're sitting next to your parents this morning, just look at them and smile. Some of our parents failed us. Hey, look, guys, how many in this room ever failed your kids? It was easier for me to ask it than for me to just tell you, I know I failed mine. But we take one another up and we thank God for the good things and we cover one another in love over the bad things and we forgive. It's the only thing to do to go on. And some of us in this room were greatly hurt by our parents, I know. But you know, there's a real travesty in our society right now. There are whole culture groups of people that sire children but abandon them. There are whole groups of people that have been aborted and done away with or birthed and walked away from. Fatherless, motherless children. Orphans. And again, thank God for, you know, the first orphanages all around the world were Christian orphanages. Thank God for people who welcome our children or children to their home and give them lives and love. But Jesus said, I'm going away, but I am not leaving you as orphans. I am sending a comforter who will heal, strengthen, and live inside of you. He will abide. You are not alone. The word for his name that we sing sometimes about is Emmanuel. And what does God mean? What's the definition of Emmanuel? God with us. You're loved and you're cared for. I think I probably can identify with each person in this room, and you can with me. As a dad, I've got to confess to you, I have three sons. They're grown, they're gone from my home. There's not one day, not one, that goes by where I don't think about those kids, grieve over those kids, rejoice for those kids, and pray for those kids. Not one day. If somebody hurts them, you know what rises up within me, don't you? Anger. I'm going to take care of it. But I can't. Sometimes I don't hear from them for weeks at a time. If you guys hear this online, how come you're not calling more? Anyway, sometimes I don't hear from them for weeks at a time. But you grieve and you think and you pray and you meditate and you ask God for breakthroughs. And you know, somebody prayed for you and me just like that too. Thank God. You spend your whole life thinking about what you're going to do someday when you grow up and you have kids, if you do, and if you don't, no problem. You do it for people you care about because the same heart is birthed in you. And all of a sudden you reach this point where it all shifts. You still worry about, at 56, what am I going to be someday? But mostly, you're thinking about, how's it going for my kids? My grandkids. And Jesus says, Kev, that's what I'm doing for you all the time. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for his saints. Jesus is praying for us all the time. All the time. We're never alone. And he says, I am your parent and I will never abandon you. You look around our world today, the culture of fatherless children and war. War ravages families, and there are orphans that are created all over the world. No family to take them in. And one of the things that breaks our hearts, and God makes room in families for these children. And how many are glad that when you gave your life to Jesus, you got a brand new family? My family keeps growing. I keep meeting new members of my family. What a joy. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is inside of you. You're never alone. There's peace in your storm. And when the waters are troubled, you're never alone. Let's look at these scriptures. Verses 25 through 31. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will, what? Teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. How many are grateful that you're walking down the street or you're on your job or you're at home talking to somebody and all of a sudden into your heart and mind will come the right verse that you need just at that moment? Who do you think gave that verse to you? Or you're in the middle of an argument and you need some help right away and all of a sudden, bam, something drops into your heart, real wisdom heals the whole thing. Who do you think gave that to you? The Holy Spirit. Sometimes how many wish, if you ever got in that situation, you heard the Holy Spirit a lot earlier? Sure. But He'll speak to our spirit. He'll teach you all things. Bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I've told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise and let us go from here. And we're into the very last days of Jesus' ministry on earth. His disciples' hearts are breaking, and yet they've been comforted by the reality of the words of Jesus, who teaches them the Holy Spirit will be there. The Holy Spirit's here. Peace. Don't let your heart be troubled, stirred, and agitated is literally what that means. Don't be afraid. Don't be timid. Let bold confidence be your portion. Who is the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. He's inside of you. You're never alone. He makes a home for you today, just like He did for His disciples. And He says, don't be shaken. Don't be afraid. Don't be lonely. Jesus comes for you, and Jesus prepares a way for you. I'd like to tell a story in closing. I'm going to take a few minutes telling you this story because I think it shows such an illustration of what the heart of Jesus is. They told me that the big black lab's name was Reggie, tells the story. As I looked at him lying in his pen, the shelter that I got him from was clean, no-kill shelter. And the people were really friendly. I'd only been in the area for about 6 months, but everywhere I went in the small town, small college town actually, people were friendly and they would wave at me all the time. Everybody waves and you pass them on the street, but something was still missing, this person says, as I attempted to settle into my new life. And I thought, well, you know, a dog can't hurt. How many in this room have dogs? Okay? How many in this room have cats? How many of you know cats think they rule the universe? Dogs just love you. How many know that? Okay. A dog couldn't hurt. He said, give me somebody to talk to. And I'd seen Reggie's, this person had seen Reggie's advertisement on the local news. And the shelter said they received a bunch of calls about Reggie right after they advertised it, but said the people who'd come down to see him just weren't the lab type of people, whatever that meant. And they concluded that this person was. He goes on to say, but at first I thought the shelter had misjudged me, giving me Reggie and his things, because his things consisted, by the way, of a dog pad, a big one, and a bag of toys, almost all of which were tennis balls, brand new tennis balls. They gave me his dishes, and they also gave me a sealed letter from his previous owner. But I got home and threw his things down, and almost immediately, this guy says, Reggie and I didn't really hit it off. We struggled for 2 weeks. That's how long the shelter told me to give it before, you know, so he could adjust to his new home before deciding to give him up. And this guy says, maybe it was the fact that I was trying to adjust to, maybe we were just too much alike. For some reason, he says, his stuff except for his tennis balls, because he wouldn't go anywhere, Reggie wouldn't go anywhere without two tennis balls stuffed into his mouth. But everything else that belonged to Reggie got shoved over into a corner and tossed with unpacked boxes. And he says, I really didn't think we'd need all his old stuff because I'd get him some new things once he settled in. But it came pretty clear pretty soon that he wasn't going to settle in. He knew the normal commands. The shelter told him about that. He knew how to sit and he knew how to stay and come and heal. And he followed them when he felt like it. Never really seemed to listen when his new owner called his name. He'd look in his direction, and maybe the fourth or fifth time he said his name, he'd perk up and then he'd just lay back down. Whenever he'd call him again, you can see this, can't you? This dog would look at him and he'd sigh and maybe then grudgingly obey. Anybody have a dog like this? Come on. This just wasn't going to work. He chewed on a couple of shoes and chewed up a couple of unpacked boxes, and the guy admits I was a little too stern with him, and he resented it. He could tell that Reggie was upset with him. The friction got so bad, he couldn't wait for the 2 weeks to be up. And he was on a full-mode search for his cell phone, because he remembers setting his cell phone on a stack of unpacked boxes, and he was going to call that shelter, get ready to get Reggie back to that shelter. And he couldn't find it, and so he mumbled to himself, "That stupid dog, I'll bet he hid my cell phone." Finally, he says, "I found it." But before I could punch up the shelter's number, I also found his pad and the other toys that belonged to Reggie, and I tossed the pad in Reggie's direction. He sniffed at it, and he wagged his tail. That was the most enthusiasm he'd seen in 2 weeks since bringing him home from the shelter. And he said, hey, Reggie, you like that? Come here, I'll give you a treat. And the dog sort of glanced in his direction. Maybe glared, it's more like it, and made a discontented sigh and flopped down with his back to him. Reggie absolutely was not going to come. Okay, Reggie, he said. I don't know what to do, but I've come to the end of my rope. So he started to punch in the shelter's phone number because he found it. But all of a sudden, in his bag of things that he'd thrown over into the corner, he saw the sealed envelope that he'd been given. He completely forgot about that. So then he talked again to the dog. He said, okay, let's see if the owner has any advice for me. And he opened it up, and it read like this. To whoever gets my dog, I can't say that I'm happy that you're reading this. This is a letter I told the shelter could only be opened by Reggie's new owner. I'm not even happy writing it. But if you're reading this, it means I just got back from my last car ride with my lab after dropping him off at the shelter. My dog knew something was different. I have packed up his pad and his toys before, and I've set him by the back door because we're going to take a trip, and he's always thrilled to go, but this time it was like he knew something's wrong. Something is wrong, which is why I have to go try to make it right. So let me tell you about my lab in the hopes it'll help you bond with him and he with you. First, he loves tennis balls. The more tennis balls, the merrier. Sometimes I think he's part squirrel, the way he hoards them. He usually always has two in his mouth, and he'll try as hard as he can to get a third one in there, but he hasn't been able to do it yet. It doesn't matter where you throw those tennis balls, that dog is going to chase after him, so be careful. Don't do it by any roads. I made that mistake once, and it nearly cost him dearly. Next, commands. Shelter's probably already told you, but let me go over them again. Reggie knows the clear ones. Sit, stay, come, heal. He knows hand signals. Back, to turn around and go back when you put your hand straight up, and over if you put your hand out to the right or to the left, shake for shaking the water all off, and paw for a high five. He goes down when he feels like going down, and I'll bet you could work with him to get him some more. He knows ball and food and bone and treat like nobody's business. I trained Reggie using small food treats, and nothing opens his ears like a couple of pieces of small little hot dog. His feeding schedule's twice a day, 7 in the morning, 6 at night, and just regular store-bought stuff. And he's up on his shots, call the veterinarian and get your information mixed with his, and you know, they'll send you reminders. But by the way, I just want you to know, Reggie literally hates going to the vet. You're going to have a problem on that day taking him to the vet. I don't know how he knows he's going to the vet, but somehow Reggie knows he's going to the vet, and he won't go. Finally, give him some time. Elaine, would you come, please? Said, I've never been married, so it's only been Reggie and me for his whole life, and he's gone everywhere with me, so please, include him on your daily car rides if you can. He sits just great in the back seat. He doesn't bark, he doesn't complain, he'll just sit there, because he just loves to be around people, and he loves to be around me especially. Which means this transition's going to be really hard, because now Reggie's going to live with somebody new. And that's why I need to share one other piece of information with you. His name's not really Reggie. I don't know what made me do it, but when I took him to the shelter, I told him his name was Reggie. He's a smart dog. He'll get used to it. He'll even respond to it. Of that, I don't have any doubt. If I end up coming back, getting him, tearing up this letter, it means everything's fine. But if someone else is now reading this, it means the new owner, you should know his real name. It'll help you bond with him, and who knows? You probably even notice a change in his demeanor if he's been giving you any problems. His real name is Tank, because that's what I drive. Again, if you're reading this and you're from the area, maybe my name's been on the news. I told the shelter they couldn't make Reggie available for adoption until they received word from my company commander. My parents are gone. I don't have any brothers or sisters. I don't have anybody left that I could give Tank to. It was my only request to the Army upon my deployment to Iraq that if anything happened to me, please call the shelter. And my colonel, he's a dog guy too, said he would do it personally. And if you're reading this, then he made good on his commitment. Well, this letter, he says, is getting just downright depressing, even though, frankly, I'm writing it for my dog. I couldn't imagine writing it for a wife and kids and family, but Tank's been my family for the last 6 years, almost as long as the Army's been my family. Now I hope and pray that you'll make him a part of your family. That he'll adjust, that he'll come to love you in the same way he loved me. And it was that unconditional love from a dog that's what I carried with me to Iraq as an inspiration to do something selfless, to protect innocent people from those who do terrible things, and to keep those terrible people from doing those things here. If I had to give up Tank to do it, I'm glad to have done so, because Tank taught me something about serving and loving. I hope I honored him by my service to the country and my comrades. All right, enough. I'm going to deploy this evening, and I'm going to drop this letter off at the shelter. And I don't think I'm going to say another goodbye to Tank, though. I cried too much the first time. Maybe I'll just peek in on him and see if he finally got that third tennis ball in his mouth. Good luck with Tank. Give him a good home. Give him an extra kiss goodnight every night from me. Thank you. Signed, Paul Mallory. I folded the letter and put it back in its envelope. Sure, I'd heard of Paul Mallory. Everyone in town knew him. Even all the new people. Local kid killed in Iraq just a few months ago and posthumously receiving the Silver Star they gave to him because he gave his life saving three friends. Flags had been at half mast all summer long. I leaned forward in my chair, rested my elbows on my knees, stared at the dog, and then I quietly said, "Hey, Tank." Dog's head whipped up, his ears cocked, his eyes bright. "Come here, boy." Instantly, the dog was on his feet, his nails clicking on the hardwood floor to scamper over to him. The gentleman said he stood in front of him, Tank, with his head cocked, tilted, searching, hearing a name he hadn't heard in months. "Tank," I whispered, and his tail just swished back and forth. I kept whispering his name over and over and over, and each time his ears lowered and his eyes softened and his posture relaxed as a wave of contentment literally seemed to flood him. And I stroked his ears, rubbed his shoulders, and I buried my head into his scruff, and I just hugged him. "It's me now, Tank. Just you and me. Your old pal gave you to me." Tank reached up and licked my cheek. "So what do you say we play some ball?" His ears perked up again. "Yeah, ball. You like that? Let's play some ball." And Tank tore from my hands and he disappeared into the next room. When he came back a moment later, he had three tennis balls in his mouth. Paul prepared for Tank. Simple. Took care of his dog. Had been his only family. And sometimes it's illustrations like that that help make what Jesus has done for us much more real. Jesus loves you. And he's prepared for you. And he's prepared for me. And he put us in a family. And he sent the Holy Spirit, his comforter, the helper. And he looks you in the eye this morning and he says, "You are never alone. Never." Let's stand. Jesus, you know, we don't understand all the high and complex things, and this morning's teaching and message is not about all the end times and the beast. It's much more real than that. It's about where we live every day. Some of us lonely. Some of us hurting, confused. Not knowing which way to turn. And yet, Lord, we know you're right here. Living inside of us. And you've sent the Holy Spirit to comfort, to help, to heal, to teach, to strengthen. Jesus, this morning, as a congregation, we thank you that we are never alone. Say it with me. I am never alone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.